Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive, positively into the other side of the bye week, the World Series week. We call it Shohei Ohtani month here. Reggie who? It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery when we get together and do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. So we're going to do that on Wednesday at Costas and Timonium. Got a lot of people in Dundalk beating on me now. I got Greek people in Dundalk saying, you don't come to Dundalk anymore? They move to Costas and Timonium? You don't go? I'm like, when I want crabs, I'll hit Dundalk. And by the way, the crabs are, don't tell anybody, they're the biggest this time of year. Get out this week and eat some crabs. Go to Costas and Dundalk, anywhere you want to go. Next week, we'll be at State Fair having breakfast on Tuesday morning in Catonsville. Life is great in the 212-28. So I'm looking forward to getting back to State Fair, get some chicken and waffles, maybe some shrimp and grits. We'll do that for breakfast. And then we are at Coco's on November 5th. And on November 7th, 2 days later, we're going to bring the show back out to our friends at Fadley. So we're getting back out on the road. Everything's good. Luke Jones is here. He is rested. Been spending. Do you get rest when you spend your weekend with your nieces and doing church events and doing pumpkin crawls and like all the Halloween and all that stuff? Or is it's nice to have a bye weekend? At least I thought so. I think it's nice. Every weekend's a bye weekend for me now that Chad Steele put me on the. I'd be going to Minnesota in 2 weeks, and that would be fun. I don't need to shop at the Mall of America right now anyway, and they need to win football games, but. It is kind of fun watching all these other teams with problems, you know. Not many as big a problem as 1-5, but there are some problems in the league. And quite frankly, sitting and watching the weekend of football, you realize how many bad teams there are. That's what stood out to me. No excellent teams, lots of bad teams. And I think that that speaks to injuries as much as it speaks to anything in the league and how hard it is to win with young quarterbacks unless they're Jackson Dart, Bo Nix. We got some young quarterbacks playing well too, dude.
Yeah, no question. I think there's very much a thought of like who is the best team in the league right now. I mean, you and I talked in a previous segment that maybe it's Kansas City at 4-3, right? I mean, they've been trending really well, but you kind of look and you say, all right, well, you know, Green Bay looked great the first couple weeks of the season. Since then, not as impressive, but they're still 4-1-1. I mean, you go down the list, Philadelphia feels like. Yeah, you know, they're 5-2, but if you watch the talking head shows, there's all kinds of questions about the Eagles, right? I mean, I almost feel like Philadelphia has graduated into that Kansas City territory where it's just like, whatever the eyeball test looks like, they're going to figure it out, right? I mean, they're going to.
Well,
figure
the
it
other
out,
thing
but...
is with these teams that have won a Super Bowl. No offense to the 18 guys on the fringe of the roster that don't have a ring, but all the rest of them, they. You treat the regular season differently after you win a
Sure.
Super Bowl. And I
No
know that
question.
because we've won a couple around here and we've lost we've lost some championship games where you dust off and you come back a little hungrier, a little different. But for all of those teams laying in wait, and I'll put the Tampa Bay Bucks in there. I will put the Detroit Lions, teams that haven't won anything but feel good about themselves because they have a quarterback. They're trending in the right direction. Maybe the defense has caught up enough that they don't have to win 41-38 every week. Buffalo and some other places where the deep Pittsburgh, where the field looks lopsided offensively, defensively, based on what their output is going to be. I got a lot of observations. I wrote a bunch of stuff down over the weekend, but young quarterbacks is kind of where I would start on this. And who's a contender, who's a pretender, who's a real quarterback, we're going to see one with Chicago this week, Caleb Williams, right? Like, see a guy? I mean, I see Justin Fields running around for another team now. I saw Tyrod Taylor throwing picks and interceptions. I saw Joe Flacco be victorious and, you know, the star of the week. Joe Flacco stole the weekend. He's the player of the weekend, really.
I mean, certainly the story of the weekend. I mean, it started Thursday night, obviously, and made Cincinnati look different. Not that I necessarily view the Bengals as a team that's anywhere close to the top tier or probably not even the second tier, but they're out of the bottom tier, right? I mean, how they looked with Browning as their quarterback, they looked like they might be the worst team in the league, and they looked markedly better with Joe Flacco. On the flip side of that, the Pittsburgh Steelers, despite still being in first place, being 4-2, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is playing pretty well. What's up with that defense? I mean, we talk about this Ravens roster and some of the things we've talked about with what a 1-5 start has included. That Pittsburgh defense was awful on Thursday night. I mean, and it's one thing at talking about not covering Chase and Higgins. They couldn't stop the run. I mean, go look at what Chase Brown's numbers had been running the football prior to Thursday night. So, yeah, you look around this league and
I
you
chalked that
try.
up to Thursday night to some degree, by the way. By the way,
But
this I just
that
said.
Pittsburgh defense has played bad in some other games too. I mean, think about how the Jets moved the ball against them in the opener, right? I mean, and you see what the Jets have looked like kind of since then
I would say
offensively.
this, the Steelers made the Bengals look credible. We have to
Sure.
play the Bengals twice.
Sure.
Last week before they got Flacco, even when they got Flacco, we're like, oh, okay, Thanksgiving. Who's gonna be licking their lips that night?
They're interesting now.
They're
Yeah.
interesting now,
Yeah.
yes.
I think that's the best way I could put it. I mean, I think that Joe's going to lead them to reel off 6 of 7 or something like that? No, because I think there are too many flaws on that roster. But 2 weeks ago, I might have thought they'd lose 6 of their next 7 or lose 6 of their next 7 and be the exact opposite. So we'll see how that plays out. But you mentioned young quarterbacks, and I think you look at the landscape of the AFC right now, beyond the known commodities, right? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, and they're not young quarterbacks anymore, but they're the elite of the elite, right? When they're on the field, when Lamar Jackson is healthy and upright, the Ravens are a way different team, even regardless of what 1-5 looks like at the moment. But I think what's interesting is you look at the top of the AFC standings right now, not so much Indy with Daniel Jones, because he's been around. He's been cast off already. But Drake May in New England, who I think, even going back to the end of last year, as bad as the Patriots looked, and obviously the head coach situation there was a disaster last year. You fire, 1 year gone, when you're talking about Mayo, and you bring in Vrabel. But the thing that really stood out for me watching the Patriots a couple times last year at the end of the year was that Drake May was playing quietly, playing some pretty solid football, considering how little was around him. And I see a guy that's playing good football. I see someone who, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and say he's the next Tom Brady in New England, but he's looking like he could be a guy, like a guy that could be your guy for the next decade. I mean, he looks like he has that kind of potential. So that's made New England way more interesting. It's made it that the Bills don't necessarily just have a cakewalk through the AFC East. I mean, the Bills right now are a half game behind them with New England having a head-to-head. So, it's not just a cakewalk for them with the Patriots playing the way they're playing. So you look at them, and then the other one is Denver. It's weird because Bo Nix last year, especially considering where the Broncos were at the end of the season, playoffs, and all of that, I haven't been very impressed with him. But then you see what they did as a football team on Sunday, where, I mean, it was clearly the game. You mentioned Joe Flacco and the Bengals kind of being that team that you say, hey, they were stars of the weekend, maybe the beginning of the weekend, but it was very much Denver pulling off just a miraculous comeback. I mean, they were down 19-0 going into the fourth quarter, and that fourth quarter was just insane. And they win 33-32. I mean, a gut-wrenching loss for the Giants in the sense that you can't blow a lead like that. But man, I mean, give Denver credit, and Bo Nix made some plays, and certainly the Broncos did what they needed to do, and they're 5-2 now. So as much as I just spent a couple minutes talking about the Chiefs, earlier in our conversation, oh, look at them. I mean, 3 weeks
But I
ago.
look at those teams, it's like there's are two teams that can't win the Super Bowl to me, right? I mean, the Giants and the Bengals or the Broncos, they're not winning the Super Bowl, but it's an interesting game in the afternoon. It's interesting if you're a Broncos fan to say, do we have a quarterback or do we not have a quarterback? And certainly for the Giants, who were 0 and everything 3 weeks ago, and this kid that looks like Spicoli comes in and puts his helmet forward. I mean, both of those franchises a month ago were like, what are we? They're a month in now, and they feel more stabilized because of the quarterback play. And that's going on in lots of New England. It's going on in lots of places in the league. Maybe not Cincinnati, but they've already got a quarterback who's injured, right? So there's places where you're figuring out your quarterback. I know we don't have a backup here. That's all I know. I know we have a quarterback.
Well, and since you mentioned that, and speaking of backups, I saw a team on Sunday night, and Kyle Van Noy alluded to this a couple weeks ago, if you recall, going back to the San Francisco 49ers, ravaged by injuries as they have been, right? I mean, look, Brock Purdy is not Lamar Jackson, but he's still their franchise quarterback, and they've been without him multiple games now, and they've lost a slew of other guys, including their defensive leader, Fred Warner, who's better than Roquan Smith. They won on Sunday night. They beat a Falcons team that the previous week, did some impressive work against Buffalo, right? I mean, so it speaks to the craziness of this league and how it's week to week. And, you try to do the whole, well, if team A beats team B and team B beats team C, then like that whole thing that we all try to do, even though we know it doesn't work, right? It never works out that way. But I will say this, and this is where it doesn't paint the Ravens in as flattering a light. San Francisco's been ravaged by injuries. I mean, they've lost a ton of really important guys to their football team. They're 5-2. Now, do I think they're the best team in the NFC? No, I don't. And I do think those injuries are probably going to cap their ceiling at a certain level. But it's very much a credit and a testament to them and their coaching staff in the way that they've been able to cobble together wins, even missing some of their top guys, whereas the Ravens have not been able to do that, missing their top guys, right? So, I mean, that is much more of a compliment to the 49ers, but yeah, it is somewhat of an indictment of the Ravens in terms of, we talked about this, not so much the Rams game, but when the Ravens were blown out by Houston, right? Especially when we found out before the game that no Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton, in addition to Lamar and Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey, right? You look at that inactive list, you kind of said, okay, this probably isn't going to go the way you want it to go. But the way that they were just destroyed, absolutely embarrassed in that football game, we talked about it at the time, how bad of a look it was that they put up such a little fight. And in contrast, you're seeing what the 49ers have done in some of these games, without your franchise quarterback, without some of your stars on defense. It's been impressive. And it's been a compliment to Kyle Shanahan and that coaching staff. Whereas you look at the Ravens and they've lost four in a row. Now we can keep chalking it up and say, okay, well, injuries, injuries, injuries. And some people did the same thing talking about the baseball team for 6 months, right? Injuries, injuries, injuries. And look, injuries have absolutely been a big part of this. I'm not going to sit here and say it hasn't been. Of course, you're not going to be as good without Lamar Jackson and company. But at the same time, when you recognize that injuries are part of this league, attrition is part of this league, and you've got to be able to weather that at least to a point where you don't completely bury yourselves, that's where you look at the Ravens and say, well, 1-5 is 1-5, and the math is going to be really, really difficult for them the rest of the way. Whereas the 49ers, even though Fred Warner's out for the year, and even though they've lost some other individuals, to season-ending injuries, but they're going to get Purdy back. They got Kittle back. They're not going to get Nick Bosa, but they're very much in a position where,
They're holding their own, is
they've
what I
kept
would say,
themselves in
right?
it. Right. So, the Ravens haven't been able to do that, right? So the hope is, okay, Lamar, assuming he's back this week, assuming some other guys are back this week, then okay, it's go time. But I thought that was impressive on Sunday night for the 49ers, especially if you watch, and I was watching baseball, so I can't sit here and say I was watching that entire broadcast, but I did hear them talk about it enough, and I know how important Fred Warner is to them. But it was impressive the way that they circled the wagons in a way that the Ravens couldn't, quite frankly, because Fred Warner, he's their Ray Lewis, right? I mean, he's the 49, their defense, he's their Ray Lewis. So, for them to do that, I mean, that was impressive. And it speaks to their roster depth in a way that the Ravens' roster depth has not been painted in a very flattering light over the last month, right? I mean, that all the talk, and I was as guilty of this as anyone, all the talk about the Ravens having the best roster in the league, they certainly didn't have the deepest roster in the league, that's for sure. But you kind of look at the way this league is, you hear it week to week, ebbs and flows, however you want to describe it, right? Whatever cliche, whatever mantra you want to throw out there talking about the NFL, you do know that you have these pockets of time where things are going to be rougher, and you have these times where you try to get well, right? We've talked about it with the Ravens. I mean, these next few weeks feel like very, very winnable football games if this team wants to have any thoughts of getting back in the playoff race and making a run. I mean, it's going to start with needing to win these next few games, right? I mean, it's non-negotiable, right? I mean, the math would suggest if you don't, then mathematically you're going to be cooked. So they're already in a really bad spot from a math standpoint. So, this league is as much about, and you hear this a lot, this is a coaching point, that games are lost way more than they're won. And, the teams that are able to navigate that and find ways to win. I mean, we've talked about it so much with Kansas City over the last few years. This post Tyreek Hill offense that the Chiefs have had, or, go back to where they were at the beginning of the season when Rashee Rice was still suspended and Worthy was out and they were trying to figure out what their offense was going to be. Not that they didn't get off to a slow start, because they did, but now you look at them, they're 4-3, and they might be the best team in the AFC right now. I mean, the way they're looking. So, you've got to navigate it. It's a long season, and that's why all isn't lost for the Ravens just yet. But man, they certainly didn't weather the storm very well. And hopefully you're getting Lamar back and things start to feel way better moving forward. But, it could already be too late. It might be too late. We don't know that yet. We'll find out here in the coming weeks. But, a team like San Francisco, in contrast, man, at 5-2, they're in it. And, they'll get some guys back. They'll get the quarterback back. And, they'll have a chance. Whereas, the Ravens at 1-5, it's going to be tight. It's going to be tough to state the obvious.
Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills all week long. I'm going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Wednesday afternoon. Leonard Raskin's going to come out on Wednesday and hang out with us. We're going to be at Costas and Timonium. I will have Raven Scratch Offs to give away. That is up and running. We're going to be at State Fair next Tuesday in the morning for breakfast. Stop by in Catonsville. And then the week of the 5th, we're going to be at Coco's on the 5th. The 7th, we're going to be at Pizza John's. Following week, we're going to be at Fadley's getting ready for Thanksgiving and getting ready for the crab cake shipping season as well. Big appreciation to all of our sponsors who power us up, put us out on the road, including our friends at GBMC, where I'm having a colonoscopy, 1 month countdown on that. Everybody keeps saying, piece of cake, no problem. I'll let you know Thanksgiving week around here. I'll keep everybody in the loop, and I should remind all the men out there to do what I've always said I should be doing, that I'm actually doing, and do it now. And don't be dumb like me and wait till you get old and gray to get your colonoscopy. So I feel healthy. I'll let you know in a few weeks. My thanks to GBMC for having my back on that. All right. Quarterbacks and quarterbacks getting off the spot. Pass rush in the league. I would say the one thing that makes quarterbacks look bad is a pass rush. And a bad running game as well. That always contributes. But the pass rush side of where the Ravens are, where the league is, I see guys crawling on their legs to wrap guys up in their feet, and I see guys limping around, young quarterbacks limping at the end of games every week. It's rough and tumble. The pass rush has been non-existent for the Ravens. I'm looking around the league, and I don't know what the advantage is. It may be part of this. You already said Bosa's not playing, his brother. The guys that are good at this have been injured somewhat, right? To even our guy, Madubuike, from the middle, injured. Pass rush is so important. There's nothing that makes Joe Flacco look better than a clean pocket.
I mean, no question about it. I mean, and that's one of the areas for the Ravens where I don't know where that how that's getting better. I just don't. Look, can they make a trade or two? Sure. Do I think they'll make a trade? I mean, you kind of need to at edge rusher, right? I mean, because Tavius Robinson's out 6 weeks now with
They have a
a
body
fractured
problem
foot.
like they had at safety
Yeah,
2 weeks
I mean,
ago,
right
right?
now they have three healthy edge rushers right now. Kyle Van Noy, okay, check. David Ajabo. I mean,
Sounded good on draft day. That's all
yeah,
I'm
I
saying.
mean,
Sounded good on
this is
draft.
not ideal. It's just not. So, I mean, you've got to figure this out in some shape or form. And, and obviously Mike Green being the big one that you're hoping can get better as the year goes on, but that doesn't mean he's going to transform into Terrell Suggs overnight, right? I mean, you're hoping he takes steps and gets better as
And
the
they're
year
going to
goes
play
on.
him 50 snaps,
I mean,
right?
he's going to have to play now. I mean, he already has been playing a lot the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, that's been trending that way anyway.
But there's nothing getting him off the field the way Simpson, they said, no more. You have to have a player to
He'll
put in
play.
there if you're going to bench him.
I mean, they have three healthy edge rushers right now. And one of them's in his mid-30s, who ideally is not going to be able to place. You don't want Kyle Van Noy playing 60 snaps a
Well, it's
game.
also they're not to play in 95-degree heat either.
Oh, sure, but even so,
Yeah,
like,
but if you have a 35-year-old guy, it's a different that's a different Sunday, I think.
oh, and but it's not even so much about that. It's just their level of effectiveness, right? I mean, the
On their best
idea
day, right?
you want Kyle Van Noy going into the season, the idea was,
He's your third best pass rusher.
he might be your best pass rusher, but you want him to play the 30 most important pass rushing snaps, and then he can be fresh for those specific snaps, right? Whereas now you only have three healthy edge guys, and look, whether they sign someone, whether they promote someone from the practice squad, I mean, they'll whatever they're going to do, right? And we'll reconvene if and when they make a move that's worth talking about. But until then, you're just talking about needing a couple more warm bodies. I mean, David Ajabo's number three now, and he's done nothing this year to warrant
Well,
that, but that's where
Za'Darius
they
Smith
are.
was a guy we had talked about. Clowney, the older guys. Za'Darius Smith retired again, right? I mean, he's done, right?
Well, he says so. Yeah,
Yeah,
sure. So,
so.
yeah, I mean, Clowney's in Dallas. I mean, so you kind of look at it, and this is where I don't say this to make an excuse for the Ravens, but you traded off AOA, and then the next Sunday, Tavius Robinson gets hurt, right? I mean, at some point in time, you also look at this thing and just say, it just doesn't feel like it's going to be your year when it comes to things like that either. On top of questionable decisions or questionable roster building or questionable coaching or underperforming players, right? Sometimes, yeah, the injuries and your weaknesses are exposed. We talked about the defensive line depth, and then you lose Matabike, right? We talked about the inside linebacker depth, and then Roquan Smith has a multi-week hamstring injury, right? I mean, so you can't have perfect depth everywhere. We understand that with the salary cap, but the Ravens did have some areas where they were relative weaknesses and they've been exposed, right? So how do you move forward now? And that's where I look at this thing. I mean, I don't know what their pathway is for a pass rush that, don't get me wrong, like, let's forget even talking like top five, top 10. Can you get your pass rush to a point where it does something for you, right? I mean, it's been a non-factor other than maybe the Cleveland game. And even that game, I mean,
And
it
this is
wasn't.
what makes it trouble for Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco. You can
Sure.
say what you want about their defenses, about them, their age, whatever. If you can't make them move, they'll kill
They
you.
can still hurt you. Absolutely. I mean, there's no question about that. And that's where I look at. I mean, the thing I'd say about Rodgers, and I haven't watched Pittsburgh a ton, but I've watched them enough now. For someone who's 41 going on 42, he still moves pretty well. I mean,
He moves like a 35-year-old.
no, I mean, he, right. I mean, he's not taking off and running. I mean, he never was the guy that ran for a ton of yards, but he was always the guy that can move his feet around the pocket, scramble, wait for someone to get open, and then deliver a pass, right? Throw off his back foot more effectively than a lot of quarterbacks. And he can still do those things. So if you can't harass those guys, they're gonna hurt
Well,
you.
the
And that,
other part for him is what Brady talked about last week, which is premium plays, which, by the way, is better than premium pricing. I'll point that out to Sacha Brown. Premium plays, that's how Brady described it. You were at the game, so I was listening to it. He's like, Matthew Stafford's up at the line of scrimmage. He's going to get them into a premium play in every play. Every play, he's coming up to the line of scrimmage with 12, 15, 14, 15 seconds. He's coming up. He's reading everything. He's seeing who the mic is. And then he's going to back off, put himself into the play he wants, and kick your ass. And that's where Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco. Maybe not Flacco as much because he probably didn't even know the offense all that well in Cincinnati. But in the case of Aaron Rodgers, that's where it's problematic because you already don't have a pass rush. He doesn't have to really worry about things happening fast the way he does when he's playing Myles Garrett, let's say, right? Like where one bad guard will get the whole thing blown up, but he can design protections. Get the right Justice Hill into the right spot to protect him, figure out who his hots are, knowing he's got a tight end. No, like all of that being said, for really good quarterbacks, that's what makes them really good. That was Peyton Manning couldn't move the last 10 years of his career. He had a bad neck, but he could come up to the line of scrimmage and One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. He's rid of the ball, and somebody a lot faster and better is in single coverage running away from somebody. And a safety needs to make a tackle, or a linebacker needs to make a tackle, or a linebacker needs to make a tackle on a wide receiver or a scat back that they can't catch. That's the mismatch part of having tools, of having great players around you. And when the Ravens' offense is working, Lamar, sleight of hand, RPO, Derrick Henry, big holes if you have Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum doing their job the right way, hot reads like Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. Oh, by the way, big fat back like Pat Ricard if you want him in. Guy with hands to throw the ball up, D-Hop will go get it. Deep, you got Bateman, you got Zay Flowers to create mismatches across the middle at any point. Zay Flowers can create a mismatch. So you have all of that in this offense too. But the difference is, if you pressure Lamar or you beat up on the guard of choice, whoever, whatever guards they have out there, or the left tackle, some guy named Noteboom, it makes Lamar a lot more edgy about having to get rid of the ball or what's going to happen with the ball, a lot more thinking going on than the calmness of Aaron Rodgers walking up to the line of scrimmage in Pittsburgh to kick you out of the playoffs the first week of January on a 28-degree night, which he kind of likes that sort of weather, as I remember it in Green Bay, walking up to the line of scrimmage in quiet, and you have no pass rush, and all he has to do is figure out where's my mismatch and on every play and just matriculate the ball down the field like a veteran quarterback.
Well, and look, what you mentioned about Lamar, I mean, that's every quarterback, right? I mean, in the same way that if the Steelers don't protect Rodgers, he doesn't look very
But
good.
Lamar has a boatload of tools, but no O-line.
Sure. Well, but I'm just saying in a general sense. I mean, you're spelling out the issue when you can't protect your quarterback. I mean, it's why I mean what Joe Burrow has done at times in Cincinnati, when he's been able to stay healthy and when his offensive line hasn't gotten him injured, it's kind of been miracle work what he's been able to do, because he hasn't had very good offensive line play and he's hurt again as a result, right? So yeah, I mean, this is where, when I'm trying to look at the Ravens, look at their schedule, look at who they're getting back from injuries, trying to project out how this is going to go, this is where I have a really tough time, regardless of what the schedule looks like. And it's not an imposing schedule. You know, their last 11 games, especially knowing that the Ravens have gone on some tears in the past in the Lamar era. You know, we all remember them winning 12 in a row in 2019, and the roll that they got on 2 years ago when they end up being the number one seed again, and all of that, right? They've made runs like this before, but because of the state of their pass rush and specifically their defensive line, which, by the way, let's not overlook the fact that they've had their issues stopping the run as well. Now, they were better against the Rams in that department, and that was encouraging, but that's been an issue for them as well. And that it ties together with the pass rush, because if you're giving up too much yardage on the ground in early downs, then you put the opposition in a lot of third and shorts where your pass rush is going to be neutralized. You know, even if you do get pressure, like you're just in a position where it's short yardage, ball comes out quick, move the chains, end of story, right? So, but I look at that, and then I look at the Ravens' the state of their offensive line, and having some concerns about Stanley's health after 3 straight weeks dealing with an ankle going into the bye. I hope the bye week gave Ronnie a chance to rest up and the ankle's 100%. I don't know if that's reality, though. I don't know if he's going to get out there against the Bears on Sunday and it's bothering him and he's going to have to exit the game again, or, you know, I mean, what that's going to mean for a month from now. So it's, I can envision lots of things about this team still going in a positive direction in terms of what needs to happen for them to win 9 of 11 to finish 10 and 7.
Well, the positive direction would just be, I don't need style points
It's
against the Bears. They just need to win.
sure. But when I think about the level of consistency that's needed to win 9 of 11, I'll sign off on Lamar Jackson, no duh, right? A two-time MVP quarterback. I'll sign off on what you just spelled out in terms of Derrick Henry and Patrick Ricard coming back and the skill players that they have. And I'll sign off even on their defense with Roquan Smith coming back, that part of it. The idea that Hamilton is now in a position where he can play nickel and play close to the line of scrimmage, I think that can raise the floor of their defense.
I think they
But
believe they were a better team without Oway and with the safety from the Chargers,
I mean, I just
and
think it's having
Hamilton
three
up at the line of
safeties.
scrimmage was better than having Odafe Oway at the line of scrimmage.
I mean, and it doesn't have to be, there were, look, I'm not going to give Eric DaCosta a pass. They lost Ardarius Washington in May. They had 5 months to get a third safety that was viable. So that's on Eric DaCosta to me. However, that being
He
said,
would say they got one now.
I would
It
say
just
you
cost
need,
them their edge rush.
I would say you needed one 2 months ago, and there were other safeties out there that to be had. Like, we're not, you didn't need to acquire Ronnie Lott, right? I mean, Alohi Gilman's not an all pro. He's a solid football player. So anyway, I'll buy those elements of the defense being better than what we've seen. I'll buy, obviously, Lamar coming back, their offense being better, Patrick Ricard being back on the field, their running game being better. But is their offensive line and is their defensive line going to play at a high enough and consistent enough level for these next 11 weeks for you to win 9 of those games? That's where I struggle. That those two areas are where I really struggle, even with the schedule that they have, which is quite forgiving on paper, right? I mean, we talked about it all off season
Well, the
from
first 6 weeks were
it was
tough.
a bear. It was a bear. No question. No
Yeah.
question. I mean, 5 of 6 against playoff teams from a year ago. So fully acknowledging that, but I have my doubts whether this offensive line is going to be good enough and consistent enough the rest of the way. I absolutely have my doubts whether they're going to find nearly enough good quality play on their defensive line and at edge rusher that they're going to be able to
And
reel
that
off.
includes stopping the run.
Not, yes, no question. So those are the two areas where I look at this and I'm just like, I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll see. And again,
Game's won in the trenches there, Luke. Just like John Madden would tell you.
they have 2 weeks, roughly a little over, basically 2 weeks until the trade deadline. Do I think Eric DaCosta is going to make a move or two? Yeah. Do I think realistically there are enough moves that he can make that are going to remedy all those issues on the offensive and defensive lines? No. So
Well,
that's
lose
where.
one more of these games next week, unless
Oh.
they're 3-5. 3-5, and you're dealing like you're 6-2, fine. But if you're 2-6, or
Oh, yeah. I mean, then maybe you sell off Mark Andrews. Maybe you sell off, another player that.
wow, it's October 20th.
Well,
You give me, I mean, literally,
if you
you're
lose one of the.
absolutely right. If they lose this time next week or next Friday, we are talking about, all right. What direction do you go in as a seller? The Orioles sold off 9 guys, right?
Yeah.
At the deadline, literally, right? And this whole offseason, this is what Elias is. We have 18 young players we brought in. I don't know about draft picks, but I know Eric loves draft picks. But I also know, and this is the weirdest thing, they have never, ever, ever thrown the towel in on a season around here
No.
to deal out players. Like that
Well,
would be unprecedented, but also smart if they're 1-7, smart.
yeah, and again, that's where we come back to, you have to win these next two games. Like there's just, it's non-negotiable. If you can't win these games, the math says it's over then, right? I mean, even if you go 1-1 these next two, I mean, you're 2-6. Are you really gonna lose one more game the rest of the way
Are
when
you
you
going to
couldn't
deal
even.
draft picks out to get a pass
Yeah,
rusher when
I
you're
mean,
two and
like,
six, right?
and don't get
Yeah.
me wrong, there's always nuance from the standpoint of could you acquire someone that is under contract for the next couple of years? Then yeah, that's a
Two
different.
and six sounds awful, and they're this
Right.
close. I mean,
Right.
they're I'm literally, and
Well,
we're talking about them being a buyer instead of a seller. That, yeah.
that's where you get into, if you lose, I mean, obviously Miami's dreadful. I mean, they are
You better
terrible.
not
They're
lose to them, but it's a
dysfunctional.
Thursday night tricky game on the road. It's a weird game, man.
No, like you have to win. Like if you lose that game, you stink. Like at some point in time, it's just like it's time to stop talking about you in any of these terms whatsoever, right?
Browns feel good about themselves right now.
But even the Bears, right? Yeah, the Bears are 4-2. They're not a bad team. Let me be clear. They're better than they've been. I think Caleb Williams might. I'm not convinced yet, but might. He certainly flashes good things. I'm not as impressed with him as like Drake May with New England right now. But you've got to win this game because it's one thing to talk about losing to the Bills or Detroit or at Kansas City or Houston or the Rams when Lamar didn't play in those two games, right? You can look at any of those games in isolation. The eyeball test of the Texans game feeling so terrible aside, each of those losses in isolation, you can rationalize it and still think the Ravens have a path to being a good team. If you lose to the Bears, assuming Lamar is back, and if he's not back, then that's a totally different conversation. And then it's like, where is he with his health? When is he coming back? What's going on? Did he have a setback? Right? I mean, go down the list of all those questions it creates. But assuming Lamar is back on the field, if you can't beat the Bears, then why the heck am I supposed to think that they're going to go to Minnesota and beat the Vikings? Why am I sure that they're going to go to Cleveland and beat the Browns? Okay, the Jets are terrible, so I'll give you that one. But why am I convinced they can beat the Bengals? Why am I convinced they can beat the Steelers, right? Why am I convinced that they can beat New England? Why do I think that they're going to go to Green Bay and beat the Packers, right?
They
So
have to win all of those games to get to 10.
sure. But my point, like if you lose to the Bears at home, coming out of your bye week with extra time to prep, then like forget about all this 9 of 11 stuff. Like you're not good. Like it's that simple for me. That's why this is must win. I mean, it just is on so many levels. Like the math, yes, but at some point the eyeball test. Like you've got to give me something to work with here, right? I mean, you haven't won a game in over a month.
Well, they are a touchdown favorite at home. I
Sure,
mean, they are, right? As we sit
and
here.
and I'll tell you right now. I mean, I'm still days away from writing my 12 Ravens thoughts with a prediction for Sunday's game. If Lamar Jackson's healthy and practicing this week, I'm picking the Ravens to win.
Dude, I called Harbaugh a fraud, and I mean it, and I stand behind it. And if he would get in the room, I'd let him know. But I think they're going to be 7-7. I still think they're going to win 6 of their next 8
That's
games.
fine.
I really do. I think, and
But that
it's not
has to
because I
start.
want to believe that. It's because the pedigree tells me that, and it's because sitting and watching all these terrible teams like the Dolphins, like the Jets, and completely winnable games like the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings at this point, that I look at it and say they'll find a way, given pedigree, given Harbaugh, given as good as he is, he's going to the Hall of Everything. Just ask anybody how great a coach John Harbaugh is, that they'll figure this out. But figuring it out really starts with number 8, and until we see him do it on this is opening day for them, right? For the rest of the season. Like they're going to win or have a season, or they're going to lose and there's not going to be one. And that's
Yeah.
where they put themselves at 1-5. So if
Well,
you're going down to the game this week, you're selling your tickets off cheap, you're going down tailgating, whatever the weather's going to be, whatever. Yeah, I'm with you. It's kind of the season. Yeah, if they
season's, I mean,
lose,
if they lose Sunday, it's over. Like, it's over. I mean, like, because again,
they're not
what are
going 9-1.
you hanging your hat on? This idea of what you thought the Ravens were going to be, but in reality, it hasn't been that at all, right? So,
Certainly hasn't been for Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey,
sure.
Roquan Smith, the players, the actual Derrick Henry fumbling the ball, not having holes, like the players themselves,
Plenty of
Zay
blame to go
Flowers
around.
dropping balls and disappearing after games. This is where I bring up accountability. I bring it up top to bottom, and I think Harbaugh's unfireable. So the heart of my column is, well, you're not going anywhere, so you have all the rope in the world. You got a job for life. Like this orange crook down in D.C. thinks he's got a fiefdom and he's here forever and do whatever we want. There'll be no consequences because there's never been any consequences. I don't know where the consequences are if this thing finishes 5-12 under any circumstances. Lamar's hurt. Roquan's hurt. Ronnie Stanley got hurt on us. Marlon got old. Young guys didn't take. We can't get him the ball. The offensive line was no good. The defensive line was no good. I'm already making the excuses up for 1-5 because that's what it is. What it is right now is the offensive line and the defensive line aren't good enough, aside from all of it, let alone the injuries. On their best day, can this outfit beat the Chicago Bears or the Miami Dolphins? Well, we're going to find out this week, right?
And I mean, you've got to be able to beat the Bears. If you can't beat the Bears, then at some point it's like we're like in this time warp talking about what we thought this team was in the preseason compared to like what reality looks like. And this is where you look at it and say, hey, it's challenging. They have flaws. Their offensive line, short of them acquiring an all-pro guard, I don't know how much better it's going to get. And that's even assuming that Ronnie Stanley can stay healthy, which I don't know, right? I mean, I'm concerned about that. The defensive line, Matabike is not walking through that door. I mean, he's just not. So are you going to go out and get an impact defensive tackle? Can you go out and get a edge rusher that, isn't going to be a 12 sack guy, but can at least be, I don't know, 7 sacks,
Well,
eight
if next
sacks?
weekend you're 3-5, you're thinking that way. In the meantime, between here and there, it's bubble gum and paper clips and staples and trying to hold it
Oh,
together.
win no matter how it looks. And let me be clear, I don't care how they beat the Bears. Yeah, I think everyone would feel way better if Lamar comes running out of the tunnel and they win by 3 touchdowns and they do that. All right, everyone's feeling good. Everyone's feeling better. The bye week did some good for everybody, physically and mentally for everybody. But, even if they win 20-17 and, it's kind of a slog, it's still a win. I mean, they just need to win. Like it's really that simple. You haven't won in over a month. You have one win on the season. You need to win. But if they don't, then I don't know what we're talking about, because it's like, again, Bills, okay. Lions, okay. Chiefs, sure. Lose to the Texans without Lamar. I mean, I didn't like how ugly it looked, but the end result, I wasn't shocked by the fact that they lost, given the guys that were injured in that game. Same with the Rams. No Lamar, I'm not shocked. But if you do have Lamar and you drop this game to the Bears, like, I don't know what this even is. Like, it truly is just a bad football team then. And on top of that, they're 1-6, and then you're talking about needing to win 9 of your last 10. You're going to go 9-1 after that to get to 10-7. I mean, it feels like dreamland then. I mean, it's already, we're not talking about the highest probability scenario, because we're assuming these guys come back and they're not going to have a bunch of other injuries, which is a big assumption, right? Just because you're injured early in the season doesn't mean you're not going to have
There's so
injuries the
many
rest of the way.
assumptions here that the kicker's going to make big kicks,
Sure,
that
sure.
Lamar's going to stay healthy, that guys are going to catch balls,
Yeah.
that there's going to be some semblance of a pass rush, that there's just
Well, and it's
this
funny.
is an ugly road. You and I have spent 15 years talking about a pretty good football team. We haven't been maybe 2015 when Flacco got hurt or whatever, but
They were
like
bad that year, yeah.
we haven't had a whole lot of this, and
No.
certainly not this far in with Harbaugh, which is why I went after his fraudulence last week in a lot of ways. And I'm on the outside looking in. I don't have questions to ask anymore, so I get to ask them rhetorically to the universe at this point in front of our audience. I would say, you're getting to the point of the fans walking out of the stadium, not showing up, not using their tickets. I mean, I was out at Cooper's North over the weekend grabbing some lunch. Terry's like, yeah, I didn't use my tickets. I'm like, what? Well, I had this and I had. What? Your seats were empty. Yeah, well, okay. That's where we are now. I mean, I've lived a life in front of this audience here for 30 seasons. That's not the way it's been around here in regard to the football team. And
Yeah.
Bisciotti better be smelling his brand protectors like Chad Steele and Sashi Brown and the people that have built this thing in the community or destroyed it in my case. They've destroyed my fandom. Piece by piece, they've come after me. You've seen it. You've witnessed it, and how they've behaved all along, and how they've treated the media, the aftermath of this Justin Tucker thing. And don't underestimate the fact that he's going to be kicking in the league 3 weeks from now. And nope, shh, can't talk about that chat. I'll take my wristband. So it's going to be a big story in the league when Justin Tucker comes. And maybe nobody reads the banner piece, and maybe he gets a job with the Cardinals or the Giants or some godforsaken team where he's going to be fringy, but he's going to be kicking in this league in a couple of weeks because he's one of the 32 best kickers on earth. His suspension is up. His agent's going to get him a gig. He wants to kick again. He loves himself. He loves his videos. I mean, he is what he is. I've witnessed it for 15 years and I have my opinions on that. But he's going to come back and that story's going to come back. And if they're 2-9 when it happens and Harbaugh's flailing and the stadium's empty and they're in last place, and God forbid they would lose to the Browns 3 weeks from now because they're underneath of the Browns in the standings. And I don't remember in October ever where that's been the case. So there's a lot of bad ish going on with this franchise right now. And that's just not even the stuff I know that's happened off the field that I alluded to in my fraudulent column last week that I would encourage everyone to read. I may read it aloud and put it on the radio this week because I feel like it needs to be heard. And not just piling on when they're 1-5. The owner's going to pile on. The sponsors, the fans, the city is going to pile on when all this happens. And I'm surprised they didn't pile on more on the Justin Tucker thing. That's why I think it's going to come back. The story's going to come back, and it's going to become more of a national thing when the greatest kicker in the history of the game, the greatest kicker in the history of the game is going to come back and kick 4 weeks from now for somebody else. That's all. And he's going to come in key situations to win games, and they're going to talk about it. We're going to have a little talk
Okay.
about Justin Tucker in a way that the country didn't talk about him. I think a lot of these things could be happening in the next couple of weeks when they're playing Thanksgiving night as a 3-18, whatever. I don't know. They better not be. They better be 5-6 or, whatever, 6-7, whatever it's going to be. But things can really get bad here. And they've been really bad. And you've experienced it. I've watched it on TV. I don't know what the bowl of that stadium looks like booing Harbaugh, and there's 4,000 people left at the end of the game to boo him, and the stadium's empty. I've seen that two in a row now. Better make sure it's not that way 3:30 on Sunday against the lowly Bears.
Sure. I mean, a lot to unpack there, but I'll take a step ahead. I mean, if you have that kind of season, and this is going to apply regardless of how the rest of the
Well, they're
season
on the
goes.
pathway to that season right now. They've got HOR. They do.
Not going to sit here and argue with you, but much more. I mean, the Justin Tucker thing is going to be a big thing for who signs him. I know you. I'm not saying it's not going to be talked about at all, but for the
Somebody's going to
Raiders,
need a kicker. I watched the football all weekend, right?
that's a lot for a team to take on for a kicker, especially a kicker coming off of the worst year of his career. I
Didn't
mean,
do anything. Just ask the Ravens. Ask, I mean, literally ask him. He didn't do anything. All he did
the
was,
Ravens cut him.
yeah,
I mean,
okay. Yeah, he didn't do anything.
no,
Just ask him.
but I'm saying the
Ask
Ravens
his
cut.
lawyers.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what a prickly thing this has been for 8 months for the people at the Banner and for people in the Ravens, and they all wash their hands of it. I'm just saying I don't think their hands are as clean as they want them to be once he comes back, because I think he'll come. You think he's blackballed? Let's go. I mean, we're on the cusp.
I
I've
don't
seen
know.
these kickers missing extra points and go, dude, the only reason Denver's heroes today and the Giants aren't is the Giants kickers stunk.
Right. But you're also taking on a predator, signing someone to be your kicker. I mean, I'm not saying, believe me, the NFL doesn't, nothing surprises me with the NFL at this point in time.
Rashee Rice is high-fiving fans in the end zone after catching touchdowns.
but if
He
Justin
left people
Tucker
for dead.
If Justin Tucker doesn't get a job 3 weeks from now when he's eligible, that's not going to surprise me. Now, if he never kicks in the league ever again, that might surprise me. But I'm not convinced that he's being signed in week 11. I'm not convinced that his phone rings immediately and he's on a team. We'll see. We'll see. But I'm
Well,
with
the
Paul.
Chiefs kicker's been running around telling women they need to be barefoot pregnant in the kitchen, and he's been kicking and it's been doing
Are we
okay.
really going to
So,
compare those two things?
no.
Okay, I was just going to say. I mean, like, come on, like that those aren't remotely comparable. And I'm not even going to, whatever Harrison Butker said. I mean, doesn't mean
And
I.
whatever Justin Tucker did can't be proven, right? So,
Well,
I
but my
mean,
point, I think that's an unfair comparison to Harrison Butker compared to what Justin Tucker did. But anyway,
I'm just saying controversial kickers. Just in a general sense, he's a
okay.
kicker. If he makes the kicks, he's a hero. It's the NFL, dude. Rashee Rice is running around. Like, I don't know what I think he's going to
Okay,
play again. I just do. I've always believed that.
but it's always
Because
different when
he's
you're
so
talking
good.
when it's your own guy. He wasn't good last year. Justin Tucker's a big reason why they lost multiple games last year. It's always different when it's your own guy compared to going out and signing up for that. Anyway, I'm not terribly interested in talking about Justin Tucker right now because for the Ravens, when you're talking about where they are at the end of the season, regardless of how the rest of this year goes. Lamar Jackson has a 75.4 or $74.5 million cap number for 2026. You've got to do an extension. We know how the last extension went. How easily is that going to happen? Nnamdi Matabike has a $30.9 million cap number next year. Is he going to play football again? Roquan Smith has a $32.7 million cap number next year. Now, that's not money, but that's with restructuring his deal. That's his cap number. That's a problem. Roquan Smith is not playing like that kind of a linebacker and hasn't going back to last year. Now, maybe he will the rest of the way. We'll see. Marlon Humphrey has a $26.2 million cap number next year. Those are, I mean, that's what I just spelled out is a huge, huge per.
42% of your cap? What are we
That's a
looking at
huge,
here?
I mean, that's a huge, I mean, that's 100, 150, $160 million right there. Now, that's cap. That's not cash. That's cap, though. So my point is, I mean, this is going to be an interesting offseason in terms of, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's like 2001 cap blow up the roster kind of salary cap situation, but there's going to be a lot of tough decisions and maneuvering. And are you going to be able to re-sign Tyler Linderbaum and, kind of go down the list? So it's fascinating in that way. So, are you going to re-sign Isaiah Likely? Mark Andrews is presumably walking, right? If he's not traded at the trade deadline. I mean, so
Well,
you
they
kind
might
of,
get a high draft pick.
I mean, but the point is there's, there's some tough decisions and there's going to be some very choppy waters to navigate from a roster building standpoint come March, even
With a
before March.
$74 million quarterback, yes.
And yeah,
Coming off maybe a year you don't make the playoffs.
and coming off of a year where he's not happy because his pass protection was lousy or whatever, right? I mean,
And
no one's
Derrick
gonna,
Henry would be a year older next year.
yeah, I mean,
So that piece of that weaponry that you think you have in the running game.
so I don't mean this to say that the sky is falling 100% and they're completely doomed or anything like that, but man, that's some uncomfortable territory that's going to have to be addressed, with some of those guys. And what's going to happen? Does Matt Ibike have to retire? How do you sort that out from a salary cap standpoint? So I mean, it's tough. So yeah. You want to try to get off the mat. You want to try to see if you can make a couple moves here at the trade deadline to help yourselves. You want to certainly need to win these next two games to get to 3-5 and see what the deadline looks like and see if you can go on a run. But if that doesn't happen, man, everything we've been talking about, which has been Harbaugh and pending free agents and where this team is, Zach Orr and Todd Monken and all of that, man, from a salary cap standpoint. And you go into this offseason and you do wonder what's going to happen from a roster building standpoint. And are you going to say goodbye to some guys who have been mainstays here? Is Marlon Humphrey a cap casualty? Are you able to sign Tyler Linderbaum or do you put yourself in a position where you're not sure if it's feasible? I don't know. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to re-sign him, but he's going to be making a heck of a lot of money at the center position, where that's going to be a, you would assume whoever pays him is probably going to make him the highest paid center in the league. I mean, that's generally how it works, when you're talking about one of the top three or four centers in football. So, it's a lot. And how easily are you going to be able to play ball with Lamar Jackson in terms of working out an extension that's going to help you in the best possible way in terms of not just your cap in 26, but the next 3 or 4 years after that? So, it's a lot. So that's why when you have a year like this, man, you're just looking at this thing and you're saying, this was supposed to be I thought this was a great roster, thought this was the best roster in the league, thought this was a year where you had a great chance to win a championship. And right now it certainly doesn't feel that way at all. I mean, that's Captain Obvious. So, man, there's a lot to unpack with how this could go the rest of the way. Not just for the playoffs or not just for John Harbaugh's future or the future of any number of players, but your salary cap and where you go from here. If this does, even if it doesn't bottom out in embarrassing fashion, let's say they go 7-4 the rest of the way, Nestor. 7-4 over 11 games is not a bad record, but what does 7-4 mean? They go 8-9. Barring Pittsburgh and Cincinnati being lousy, they're not making the playoffs with that. So what does that mean? Where do you go from there? I mean, I think it's really, really interesting. And then that's where you look at, okay, what have these last couple drafts produced, right? You start to question everything. So it's heavy. It can get way heavier than it's already felt. And that's the point I'm trying to make when you kind of look at what their 2026 cap picture looks like and the heavy lifting that Eric DaCosta is going to have to do to figure that all out, beginning with working out an extension for your quarterback 3 years after, not quite 3 years after the fact that you had a heck of a time getting it done the last time. So is it going to be easier this time around, or are you going to have, you're going to be sweating it out once again? There's a lot of questions that are going to be asked here. Especially if the Ravens lose a couple games here over the next month and, they're playing out the string after that.
Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. He's on the internet everywhere I am. He is, but he gets to go to Owings Mills and to Camden Yards. We'll get some baseball in here before it's all over with. How about that Shohei Ohtani, huh? Oh, stayed up late with that one the other night, and I'm glad I did. That was almost like watching a no-hitter, except it's kind of weird. The whole thing's weird. Dodgers in the World Series. We will have an American League opponent, as we do not right now, because we're all like brewing the coffee to stay up late with game seven. So it is a it's an exciting baseball week. It will be an exciting football week around here. We got two football games, one on Sunday, one on Thursday night, and we will be talking at length about it. I've had a lot of fun here the last week. I've had Marvin Lewis on, Howard Balzer on, Todd Radom on. We're putting crab cake tours together on Wednesday. We will be at Costas in Timonium, the new Costas at the racetrack, all part of our Maryland Lottery giveaway promotion. I'll have Raven scratch-offs to give away. Hopefully a lucky batch for you. Next week at State Fair on Tuesday, and then the week after that, the 5th at Coco's, the 7th at Pizza John's, and then on the Fadley's the week of the 10th. Lots of crab cakes ahead and lots of conversation ahead as well. Big appreciation to everybody that marched in the No Kings March over the weekend as well. Want to give a shout-out to everybody out there that's defending the country against corruption and bad football. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Stay with us.